And as a response to our obedience, they will love us. Jesus and God will come and make their home in us. And I think a good question and response to that is to ask, would the Father and Son currently, right now, desire to make their home with me? How am I doing being obedient to God? Could I prepare more in this area? You know, ask yourself these questions. Is this something, because this is something we all need to take heed to,
right,
and address if the answer is not yes. Amen?
Right.
You know, I know for me, sometimes these questions can be a reluctantly no. There are times when God and the Spirit ask me to do something that I make subtle excuses as to why I can't obey.
Sure.
I'm tired, God. I don't want to share my faith right now. I want me time, Father. God, I'm so far from them. You really want me to go back on the other side of campus? Someone else will share. Charles will see them tomorrow. You know, I don't want to forgive this person, God. You don't know how they hurt me.
Right.
It's these moments that I find myself like this character Jack in a story that I recently read online. It says a man named Jack was walking along a steep cliff, and one day he accidentally got too close to the edge and fell. On the way down, he grabbed a branch, which temporarily stopped his fall. He looked down, and to his horror, he saw that the canyon fell straight down for more than 1,000 feet. He couldn't hang on to the branch forever, and there was no way for him to climb up the steep wall of the cliff. So Jack began to yell for help, hoping that someone passing by would hear and lower a rope or something. Help! Help! Is anyone up there? Help! He yelled for a long time, but no one heard him. He was about to give up when he heard a voice. Jack. Jack, can you hear me? Yes, yes, I can hear you. I'm down here. I can see you, Jack. Are you all right? Yes, but who are you and where are you? I am the Lord. Jack, I am everywhere. The Lord? You mean God? Yes, that's me. Well, God, please help me. I promise if you'll get me down from here, I'll stop sinning. I'll be a really good person. I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Easy on the promises, Jack. Let's get you off from here, and then we can talk. Now, here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully. I'll do anything, Lord. Just tell me what you want me to do. Okay. Let go of the branch. What? I said, let go of the branch. Just trust me. Let go. There was a long silence. Finally, Jack yelled, help, help, is there anyone else out there? You know, Jack totally missed out on a relationship with God simply because he would not obey. Simply because he would not obey God. The very thing God was asking him to do was the very thing that was going to save his life.
Right.
Brothers, friends, visitors, it's the same for us. The task God calls us to do will directly affect our spiritual walks or someone else's. How will you respond? Will you respond like Jack or like Philip? You know, if we're going to be men who are teachable, then we must learn to obey God. And I must say this, obeying God is a good thing.
Yeah,
obeying our Father is a good thing.
Yep.
You know, if you choose to obey God, blessings and good things follow, right? But if you don't obey God, he can't bless you or work through you. And he wants to do that.
Yeah.
God wants to bless us, men. God wants to bless us. He wants to use us. And Philip obeyed God. And God used him, and he worked through him and blessed him. So let's strive to be men who desire to learn obedience. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So let's pick up here in verse 27, and we'll read to verse 31. So it says, so he started out on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official, in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of Ethiopians. Mm. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip to go to that chariot and stay near it. And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. So Philip makes his way, right, down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And while on his journey, he meets an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the entire treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia. You know, and it's important to note here that Philip was intentionally guided to this man in this remote spot. He hadn't been told what to say. He didn't have any fancy or eloquent words prepared. He was simply obeying the angel of the Lord.
Right.
And next here, in verse 29, the Spirit tells Philip to go up to the chariot and stand next to it. In response, Philip runs up to the chariot. Philip is asked to go to Gaza from Samaria, and he goes without clear instructions, and he obeys, right? And then while on the road, the Spirit tells him to go up to the chariot and stay near it. And what does Philip do? Not only does he do so, he runs to it. Philip was willing to go and talk to this man with limited information of why he was even
right,
there.
Right.
My second point is for us to be men who are teachable. We must be willing. We must be men who are willing to learn to trust. We must be men who learn through trust. You know, every day you and I must be willing to go and trust whatever God has asked us to do.
Right.
You know, I can imagine Philip facing a bit of uneasiness or being tempted with a feeling of intimidation. The Spirit leads him to a man of great status, and he could have easily backed down from sharing with him, struggling with trusting God in this. But Philip was willing, eager even, to trust God and talk to intimidating people. You know, Philip understood that God was with him and God was guiding him, and if he was leading him to this man, and that he could trust the Father's plans, no matter how much of it was not made clear to him. Our God, right, who is sovereign, right, who is completely in control, doesn't have to tell us every single step we are to take. Right. And this is why we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, Philip acted on his willingness to trust God's plan and walk by faith, and God did his part. The same goes for you and I. Your 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power, love, and self-discipline." The same spirit Philip had is the same spirit that you and I have today. The same power, the same love, the same discipline is given to those of us who have the Holy Spirit. We must be willing to tap into it though, right? And let God lead us. Trust that what he is asking of us is best. You know, we live in a brother's house for you, those
Come
of you
on,
who
baby.
Don't know. And it's been so incredible.
Carbon Street.
And you know, one of the things that has kind of been interesting, awesome, honestly, is Mark has this version of the Bible called the Living Bible. And Mark will just randomly just start reading a scripture from the Living Bible, and we'll all be like, oh my gosh.
Stop.
Because the...
I do that.
because the way that the writer has paraphrased it is so good. So good. So I wanted to share Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 from the Living Bible. And it says, if you want favor with both God and man and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. And everything you do, put God first and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Trust God completely, right? Don't ever trust yourself. Why? Why don't ever trust yourself? Because we don't know what we're doing. God is the creator of everything. So who am I in light of that? Who am I to think that I can trust myself over God?
Right.
We are dependable. The God of the earth is. The Lord who died on the cross, he's dependable.
Right.
You know, James 4, verse 13 through 15 says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will live and do this or that." Brothers, we don't know anything about tomorrow.
Yep.
Visitors, you don't know nothing about tomorrow. I could walk out of here and not be alive tomorrow. That's the real, right?
Right.
That's real. We don't know. So trust God, seek his will, and allow him to lead you. You know, disciples that are here, are you allow God to lead you to that group of men on campus that you've been avoiding, that you've been too afraid to share with? Trust in God to have those hard conversations that you may need to have. You know, maybe there's something on your heart that you've been holding in for a while, and the Spirit is prompting you to talk about it. Right. Or maybe you're here as a guest and you need to make tough decisions in regard to your walk with God
right.
and where you are spiritually right now. Are you trusting God in that? You know, seek his will by asking the spiritual men that God has placed in your life to help, you know, say, help me to see God's plan for me.
Right.
Help me to trust him. You know, brothers, do you trust God enough to go to him when you're struggling with sin? Do you trust the brothers in your life to get open and seek the help that you need? You know, if you're not trusting God, then you're trusting yourself. And the scripture says, then you are trusting in mist that disappears.
Wow, right.
But trusting in God leads to true direction and a crown of success.
Yeah,
you know, I just want to share personally for a second. I've been here earlier. You know, I've been here, you know, not trusting and not sure. You know, earlier this year, I was studying the Bible. And I started studying the Bible last year, last spring, around May. I met Charles, and I started studying the Bible. And back in February, it came a time for me to make a decision based on the truth of Scripture. And I saw clearly that I needed to make changes in my spiritual walk. I saw that the doctrine that I was following was not lining up biblically. It was one of the hardest things I have ever had to face.
Sure.
I loved my church. I loved my friends and the worship. And brothers, to be real, visitors, to be real with you guys, I loved the comfort of half-hearted Christianity offered me. But I realized that God was calling me deeper, and that in that very moment, God was offering me the best deal of my life, the forgiveness of sins, salvation, discipleship, and radical life-changing Christianity. That was going to change my life forever.
Yeah.
You know, the thought of it all had, the thought of all I had to leave behind hurt. It hurt. And it made me weep. But the thought of all I was getting in exchange made me cry tears of joy. You know, in the moment of testing, I was willing to trust God and the unknown and allow God to reveal to me my next steps. And today I stand before you a faithful disciple now for 8 months. I made a decision I was going to trust God. I made a decision that my life was no longer trustable to Kyrie. My plans were no longer dependable. God showed me through his word that I can trust him.
Right.
That he's my father, that he loves me, right? And that he has great plans for me. I just needed to give him my heart and trust him.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, Proverbs 3, verse 11 through 12 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke. For the Lord disciplines those who he loves as a father, the son he delights in." Right?
Passage.
Everything God was taking me through, all his discipline, all his rebuke in the studies, was his love. He needed to correct me. I was his son. And what son is not disciplined? Because if I wasn't disciplined, then I wasn't legitimate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I learned to trust God because I saw the things he asked me to do. I learned to trust God because I saw that the things he was asking me to do was simply because he loved me and he wanted what was best for me.
Right.
Disciples, what areas do you see yourself fighting against trusting God?
Wow. Yeah.
Good question.
What are some things you need to be willing to allow God to change in you today to trust him? You know, those of you who are visiting with us, are you trusting God completely, letting go of your knowledge and your way of thinking? You know, let's be men who are willing to learn to trust God and be willing to let him lead. Let's follow Philip's example here and tap into the spirit God has given us. Trust him with all of our hearts and submit to trusting our will, to trust in his will. Amen?
Amen.
Let's continue to read here. We'll pick up in verse 31. You guys with me?
Yeah. Come on, Kyrie.
So it says, "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Verse 36, "As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. What can stand in my way from being baptized?' And he gave orders for them to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. And Philip, however, appeared to Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." So Philip comes up to the chariot, right? He hears this eunuch reading the prophet of Isaiah, and he asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" This eunuch could have easily replied, "Excuse me? Aren't I reading this? Of course I understand. How dare you ask me such a question?"
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is a wealthy high official from Africa who didn't know anything about Philip. He could have had Philip sent away for asking him such a question, but he didn't.
Right.
This man of great position and power and wealth responds to Philip in a great humility and says, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" I love how in verse 27, it says that the eunuch had gone down to Jerusalem to worship, and that his encounter with Philip was on his way back from the holy city, right? So what could have happened down there in Jerusalem that prepared this eunuch for such an encounter with Philip and with the gospel? Well, it's possible that the eunuch may have heard about Jesus. And if this was his first trip to Jerusalem, he would rightfully have many questions. And if this wasn't the eunuch's first trip to Jerusalem, then he most likely heard about Jesus Christ claiming to be the Messiah, heard about his ministry, his rejection from the Jews, his trial, his suffering and death and burial, and more likely his empty tomb. He probably heard about the apostles and how they radically changed after the death of Jesus and of their ministry and their message. And it would not be too far of a stretch to say that at the time of the eunuch's arrival in Jerusalem, the headline and the talk of the town was probably mostly in regards to a man named Stephen and his ministry and his public stoning for the sake of the way. He probably heard of the widespread persecution of the church and how it caused the believers to scatter. We don't know for sure, but what we do see in Scripture is that this eunuch was a humble seeker. And as we know, God loves the humble and he shows favor to them. Yep. My final point is that to be men who are teachable, we must be men who learn to be humble.
Right.
We must be men who learn to be humble.
Help us out, bro. Come on.
Humility is so important to God. As a disciple, as those of us who want to be disciples, we must understand the biblical message of humility and put it in our hearts. Humility is the soul of discipleship, and it is one of the attitudes of the heart we must continue to beg God to work in us. Amen?
Yes. Yep.
We can all learn from the eunuch in this story. He possessed a teachable spirit, and God saw that and provided someone who could preach the gospel to him. And God showed favor to him because of his humble and teachable heart. You know, in verse 31, it says that he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This eunuch didn't think too highly of himself, and he no longer cared about his position or his knowledge or his wealth. He desired to learn and know more about this scripture, about the Messiah, about the one who could forgive his sins. God divinely placed Philip there to teach him, and he welcomed the help with an open, soft heart. They sat in the chariot and read Isaiah 53, and beginning from there, Philip preached the gospel to him.
Mm-hmm.
Philip told him about Jesus. Philip told him about the Savior who died and was risen again.
Yeah.
The eunuch was desperate. And in verse 34, it says, he asked Philip, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? He desired to know, and his life no longer mattered in that moment, only the truth of Scripture.
Good point.
See, what the eunuch realized was that the good news about Jesus was all he needed. Because of what Jesus did, all he now needed to do was respond to the gospel, right? By repenting and getting baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. That was enough for him. Jesus was enough. When I'm reading this story, I couldn't help but ask myself, Kyrie, do you possess a teachable, humble spirit like this eunuch? Do you ask for help when you don't understand something?
Right.
I remember one of my first D times with Charles. I remember telling him, he was teaching me something. It's probably like my second week as a disciple. And I had to apologize to him. I said, bro, I'm so sorry. Just for a second there, I got prideful because I heard this scripture before and I knew this scripture for a long time. And do you know how we spent the rest of our D time? Charles, for the next 40 minutes, we looked at passages of humility and pride. For the rest of the 40 minutes, you know, we studied our scriptures on pride and humility because Charles understood that as a young disciple, I needed to be taught the scriptures. How dare I think I can be a new Christian who needs to grow and learn but get annoyed and prideful when someone teaches me a scripture I may have heard before. It was ugly, it was prideful, and I needed to humble out. Men, we need to humble out. If we aren't going to be humble, then why are we here? Why are we here? Following Jesus is clothing yourself with humility within itself, right? Luke 9:23, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. So it takes humility to follow Jesus. It takes humility to deny what you want to do, doesn't it? It takes humility to be open about sin, to ask for help, to tell someone that you're struggling, to apologize when you feel you didn't even do something wrong.
Yep.
But that's what being a disciple is all about. Yep. Denying you, accepting Jesus, and doing the things his way and not yours.
All right.
as men who are chasing after God's heart, we should strive to be devoted to humility, because our sinful nature is selfish, and selflessness stems from pride, and pride is the root sin that separated mankind from God in the first place. Humble yourself and submit to other people. Humble yourself and submit to getting rid of excuses. Humble yourself by telling the truth. Let's be men and speak the truth in love. Be open with one another. Amen?
Amen.
Brothers, here are some things we could be more humble in. Asking advice about pursuing interpersonal relationships with sisters. Asking advice about if missing the meetings of the body is wise. You know, taking notes during a sermon and going home and applying the scriptures to our lives. You know, these are just a few ways we can learn to be more humble. And here's some questions to ask yourself. You know, do you as a brother invite other brothers who are more spiritual, more mature in your life, into your life and say, join me, help me, bro. I have no idea what I'm doing in this area. I see you do well, help me. Do we do that? Do I embody a teachable, humble spirit and can take advice from anyone, or am I selective of who I get advice from? Do you seek advice about the decision you have come to? Are they biblical? Are you asking to be taught how to lead studies, how to share your faith more effectively, how to set up an encouragement date? And for the visitors who are here, are you asking advice about how to be more spiritual? You know, am I honest about everything that's going on in my life right now? I think a good way to know if you're humble is to ask yourself, to take 1 second and to ask yourself, is Jesus enough?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. Simple. Is Jesus enough? You know, if Jesus is enough, then humility will pour out of you like a raging flood. For the eunuch, Jesus was enough, so humility came as a result. The cross was enough. Salvation was enough, and he got it, and he was baptized.
Come on, Kyrie.
James 4, verse 6 says, but he gives more grace. That is why scripture says God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble. Opposes means to stand against something. So when we are prideful, the God of the whole universe is standing against us, resisting an enmity and setting himself against us. Personally, I do not want or desire to stand against God in opposition.
Right.
Brothers and those who are visiting, I'm sure that you too do not desire to stand against God as an enemy. You know, so choose to humble out. And in the next part of this verse, it says, he shows favor to the humble. God's favor is unlike anything I have ever known. It's because of his favor that I'm standing before you. It's because of his favor that we are all in this room, that we are alive, that we're hearing about Jesus, right? It's because of his favor that we are all able to love one another and grow and even know one another. That's God's favor. So men, like the Ethiopian eunuch, allow the gospel to be enough for you, to motivate, to move you, to compel you. Humble yourself before God and look and watch to see what God does. He has set spiritual men around you, around us, for us to run up divinely at the right times, at the appointed times, and share the gospel with us. That's why we're here, right? To help us grow and make it to heaven. This eunuch went on his way rejoicing because Jesus was enough.
Right.
His new life set before him, and he was eagerly awaiting the Lord's work back home in Africa. Men, I pray that today we will feel inspired and moved to be men who are teachable, men who learn through obedience like Philip, and prove our love to him by wholeheartedly following Jesus. I hope that we feel inspired to be a man who's willing to learn to trust God. Man who's willing to learn to trust God through whatever. Willing to lay down your will for his and allow him to show you your path. I pray that you give God room to do amazing things in you and allow him to take you on wild adventures and advance and help build his kingdom.
Right.
But lastly and most importantly, I pray that we are men who learn through humility. Men who desire to be taught. And both Philip and the eunuch possessed humility. And that's why God elevated them. And that's why God used them. And if we allow ourselves to be teachable, then we too can possess these things. Amen.
Amen.